Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Love having Greg Robinson on the show, so I just keep bringing him back.
That's good.
You could just guest host this deal, but look at this. He has his Garmin shirt on. He knows. I already tipped him off. I said, hey, we're going to talk about electronics and installs. No one does probably more installs in Northwest Arkansas than Greg, and so and he's an expert. Did mine, did a lot of did Peyton's, did Lance's, and the list goes on and on and on and on.
There's been several I've done over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. What do you want? What do you want to do first? The electronics? Or you want to do installs? We can do installs. You just got done doing one. You said.
Yeah. We can do the installs.
All right. Talk about installs. When people start looking at installs on their boat, what happens first? Do they buy their electronics and then they call you, or do they call you first and go,
well, you have a handful that will do the preparation of phone calls before they buy and then they'll call. Those people are not only on the installing part, but they'll also be asking recommendations of, you know, what units to purchase and that sort of thing. You know, some people are okay with the manual, you know, the button type.
Right.
Most people now have converted into the touchscreens.
Right.
But you got your touchscreens, you know, and of course Garmin had a price increase back three, 4 months ago, back in the summer. And basically everything went up $500.
Wow.
Across the board. There's some of them are a little bit different. But now you got those units that were, you know, $2,500 units, now they're $3,000, $3,200. So, you know, it's putting that bracket in. Of course, you can spend $10,000 on a unit as well as a touch screen. So,
what is the cheapest amount of money you can pay to get in?
Well, you could pretty much say back in the day, you could easily get into a system for around $3,000.
Uh-huh.
But that's long gone now because they've done away with the. That was when we had the LVS 32.
Right.
And now that there's no more 32s, it's all 34s. 34, I think that only went up like $200. So it was already $1,800. Now you're looking $2,000 just for that. And then a 9-inch screen is bumping that $2,000 mark now. So you can, it's $3,500 to $4,000 on a basic setup now. Now you could get into some of your. I have not noticed the prices difference on the manual ones, the button screens. So they've always been a little cheaper, and just because they're cheap, don't mean they're not good units. Because actually, believe it or not, those units like the 1242s and the 1042s, those units has got the faster processor in them, or they did, than what the Echo Maps and stuff had in them. So, and they have beefed up in the last time or two of the generations of Echo Max. They have sped up that processor as well. So, you know, it's... But at one point in time, the GPS maps, I mean, it's the GPS map series is your Cadillac of the Garmin's because of the processors and stuff. So, and you get that in the push button ones, or you get it in the touchscreen and the GPS maps.
So it comes to installs, it comes down to a lot now with you're talking about LiveScope is power.
Yeah, I sold my units. I swapped out my units a couple of years ago, and one of the gentlemen that bought one of my units and the LiveScope, he called me yesterday. He said, "Man, what's going on? I'm having trouble with this unit." Now he called me earlier in the year, and it was an update issue. He hadn't updated in a long time. These units are getting about probably pushing 4 years old now. And anyway, he hasn't used them a lot. And we got him updated. He took out, went fishing one day, and it worked great. He he's been trout fishing since then. Now he's when it's cooling down, he's wanting to get back on the water. Does most of his fishing over on bull shows. And he calls me yesterday. He said, "What's going on with my unit?" And I said, "I don't know what's going on with the unit." And he would turn it on, and it was just flashing.
Garmin.
And I said, "Well, most generally that is a voltage issue."
Right.
And so I asked him, I said, "What kind of, what gauge wire did you run?" "I don't know." And, "Well, you ran it on a, what's the power source?" "And, well, it's just a wet cell battery."
Right.
That's 2 years old.
Wow.
So I said, so he powered up his 9-inch that he had. And the 9-inch was showing, I think he said 11.4.
Wow.
Well, he's thinking, well, if it's 11.4, then do it. I told him, I said, "Well, no." I said, you by the time you turn that big unit on, and then when you do get that unit to working, now it's waking up the black box, so you got two units running on that same source. So I said, Garmin was shut down at 11. And sometimes you can get by with a little bit difference, but most generally you get down in the low 11s and the Garmin units will shut down. So I said, I first had mentioned before I got to that about 10 gauge wire, and I said, "So what all have you got on the boat and how far are you running?" And that's another thing. People don't, even though you have a 10 gauge wire, if you got a 20 foot boat and you're running 10 gauge wire from the back of the boat to the bow, then you're not good. That wire will carry the voltage, but it's not going to carry it to the degree you need it because of the number of feet. So now, most all boats now were going to 8 gauge wire. And beef it up a little bit. So it'll carry the current, it'll carry the deal. More strands of wire. You know better.
It's just like a garden hose. You don't take a garden hose and go out there with a little straw.
If you want volume,
thing. Yeah.
It's not got anything to do with pressure. Your water pressure is your water pressure. But if you go with a bigger round pipe or a round deal, then you get volume. And it's kind of the same way of what you're saying.
Yeah. So, is that probably the biggest install issue you have? Is it the wiring?
That's probably one of a lot of that in, on the installs. Or people that install them on themselves.
Right, and then you correct them.
And I understand trying to cut corners. I mean, trying to save. I mean, if you go to a machine, if you take it to a boat, a marine shop, I mean, you're going to pay $150 an hour.
Right.
Plus supplies. And, I mean, then that 8-gauge wire, you're pushing $3 a foot.
Wow.
And, you know, if my cost is right at $3 a foot and they buy a bigger volume or they can buy more footage and get that cost down, but they all upcharge their
upcharge stuff.
So I don't upcharge my parts and stuff. I just charge for what it costs and, you know.
Right.
Not $150 an hour. So,
You talked about doing that. Where do you do those installs at?
I do them there at my house now. At one time, I was kind of mobile. I did yours here.
Yeah.
And
a good job of it, too. Exactly. Still works.
Right.
Everything's perfect.
Right.
Good voltage.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with it. I worked mobile for a long time.
Right.
And then I was able to get an extension built onto my shop. So now most of the people bring it out to the house.
How long does it take usually, is it?
Well, you know, if it's not a major deal, if it's just a pretty simplex and all we're doing is adding live scope and we're adding a unit up at the bow.
Right.
Of course, naturally, if they put that on a dedicated battery by itself, it's even easier because we usually put the battery up toward the front of the boat,
right,
the front storage or whatever. On an average, I can do an install in about an hour and a half. to 2 hours. Fast.
Yeah.
But as a general rule, most people figure a minimum of 3 hours.
Let's talk about batteries, because batteries are the source, even though you're doing the installs, that you're also usually installing a battery at the same time, aren't you?
Yes, sir. The battery is a big, big part. And what people don't realize, and of course, the first thing out of the box, if you mention lithium, is I can't afford a lithium.
Right.
You take, for an example, this gentleman we was talking about on the low voltage. So he's got a battery. If the battery is the issue, he's got a battery that's less than 2 years old.
Uh-huh.
And he's already replacing it. So, I mean, a cheap lead acid battery is still going to be $100. Yep. You know. So,
at
if
least.
You replace that battery, for an example, every 2 years, you know, and you purchase a, and there's so many different brands of lithiums. I have really good luck with Militech.
Uh-huh.
And I use Militechs.
Right.
But the thing about Militech is you'll pay a little bit more than you might. You might pay a little more for this Militech than you might for that other brand, especially like Amped Outdoors.
Uh-huh.
But you got a full, no prorate, just a full straight down the line 10-year warranty.
Right.
Where you may only have a 5-year warranty on this one. And it may not be a full 5-year warranty. So, but if you take, say, for an example, if you went as much as a 100 amp hour battery, if that's what you feel that you need.
Right.
But if you're just an everyday general fisherman, the average fisherman, you're going to go out and you're going to fish 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours at a right. time, and you may fish 3 times a month. You know, like a 50 or 80 amp hour battery you're doing, that'll be even cheaper. But the big difference in the three batteries, you wet lead acid,
yep.
then you got your AGMs,
yep.
and then you have lithium. Once a wet cell battery has been discharged, it will never, I don't care how big a charger you got, I don't care how good a charger you got, it will never charge back at 100%.
That's right.
Never.
Yep.
And then on an AGM, it will charge back better. But I think the most I've ever seen out of them is about 90 to 95% charge.
Yeah.
And the actual charge. It will not quite make it to 100%. And if it does make it to 100%, neither battery is going to hold it.
Right.
In other words, if you charge those batteries right now today and you unplug them, and because I'm not going to go until probably next Tuesday.
Right.
And you unplug them, they're charged. It will leak down between now and Tuesday. If you charge that lithium battery and it charge it 100%, you can unplug it and you can set there for a month and it's still 100%. For an example, another guy brought his unit by and wanted to know if I could check it. He thought there was something going on with his unit. And I asked him what was going on. I said, sounds like a voltage. He said, no, it's voltage. I checked all connections. I got nearly a new battery, da-da-da-da. Uh-huh. Well, the people I sold my boat to back last March, my boat's still sitting in my shop. So it's powered to that, you know, deal.
Uh-huh.
That boat is sitting there in my shop since March and has not had the charger hooked to it at all. And I looked on my app because I haven't had it charging. Right. I looked on my app and it was sitting there at 98, 99% charge And it's been sitting there for 3 or 4 months.
That's the amazing thing. Those lithium batteries, most of them have an app on your phone, and you go and look at it. You don't wake. You don't really wake up with the dead battery because you already know.
Right. You can check your current. You can check your,
how many times it's been charged? How many times
cycles?
Cycles. How many times it's been cycled and hot under hot stress and all everything like that? That's pretty amazing.
So we plugged his unit in.
Yeah.
And it was fine. It was showing 13.9 voltage.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, wow. He said, that screen's even clearer, and I'm not even got my live scope on. I said,
yeah.
I said, that is the most important thing on getting quality vision and everything out of your Garmin product. It's not Garmin, just Garmin. It's low ants. It's that way with Hummingbird. If you really want a good, crisp, clear picture, put them on lithium.
Yeah. And the fact we didn't talk about, but Active Target, I've had Active Target in the past and had it, and it was sharp, but it has a certain image to it compared to the Garmin LiveScope and compared to the
Mega 2.
And so when a person goes to pick them out, you know, they're actually picking out what they like, what they've seen, and what
everybody
they've seen
has
on
their
the
own phone. Thoughts.
That's right. And I, you know, the reason I went to Garmin was the picture was I liked it for me, for what I liked. And so they you know, I mean, and so we always, people always ask me like Live Target.
And
I
said, well, you had yours connected to the Ghost Toa motor as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it all worked in. And then when I turned around and got this, I hope I can lift this up. Mine not as big as yours, Greg, but I feel like this is, you know, you bring your dog,
and
like you bring your dog to work.
Here, I mean, this bracket, that's the Cadillac of all. I mean,
that's a Cadillac.
Beat Down is, I mean, it's a beast of a unit there.
So that's where you ran the extra cables in the front so that everything could be powered.
Yeah,
I feel like bring your kid to work. I brought my electronics to work.
It's really funny. You know, it's... from the time I started, you know, doing installs, I was doing installs before LiveScope even come around. And as you know, I think we rigged your Nitro with Lawrence's, didn't we? Years back. But what
I had five units on my boat before it was cool.
Exactly. What'd you get? At one time, you had Lawrence, you had a Ray
Marine. I had the Axiom.
Hummingbird.
I had, I've had them all. I have a lot of practice with all of them.
But what has really been crazy is since we transitioned from, you know, we went from 2D to structure scan, now to live, well, we went Panoptics.
And
then Panoptics into LiveScope and then Active Target and all this. And what was really, really really crazy is in the beginning, what did everybody have to have? A pole mount.
That's right.
Everybody thought we had to have a pole mount.
Uh-huh.
And that is a good application for a handful of people.
Right.
And it was really funny because I would put a pole, I was putting... pole mounts on people's boats.
Right.
And then less than a month later, I need to bring this back. I want to put it on the tow motor. So we put it on the tow motor, we're getting there. So we're going through that cycle. Then the 9-inch screens was really popular.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, a matter, and I can promise you that 95% of the 9-inch screens I've ever installed in anybody's boat, within a month or two, we were putting 10s and 12s back on because it's not just the size of the screen. You do get better quality picture and more.
The history of what you're seeing.
You see more. Your history, you see more, and it just makes a broader view. So we went to that. And then now... it's batteries, it's voltage. Yeah, so it's really crazy how this is all transitioned over the years. Because I've got guys bringing me back boats now that I rigged 5 and 6 years ago. Get them lead acids out of. Let's go ahead and put lithium in.
I think one of the first articles I wrote about you, we went into Piney and we were double dropping, like maybe 12-foot balls. Is that what?
Yes.
I'm trying to think of what model we were using. Whatever model we were using, it was that. And then
I think, if I'm not mistaken, then that's when I was with Huckabee. And that was before then, because we had those.
Yeah, B&M.
We had B&M. We was using the. That was before they come out with the Diamond series.
Oh yeah, way before that.
We was using the Duck Commander.
Duck Commander.
Commander.
And it was like a 12-foot pole, so we always rigged it so the lure was right there, and that's what we dropped to.
Yeah, that was the Duck Commander. That's right.
That was interesting. Yeah. But everything seems to go through cycles and rods and rod lengths. Mm-hmm. A whole nother
Now we subject. Don't even think about a double jig, you know.
I thought about it a couple times, and then
I'm just saying, though, we don't.
Yeah, not like before, because you don't want to get hung up. And, you know, LiveScope costs a whole bunch, and you can save a bunch of money on your jigs. If you look at your LiveScope and don't let your jig get in, like, under the tree and you pull up.
We used to use the Duck Commander and the Sam Heaton.
I think it was the Sam Heaton one with cork was the one we were using. That was really, really popular type thing. But
they still have those rods. They're still great rods. Yeah,
they got a bunch of rods. They got the new.
They don't quite have the backbone that we're looking for in today's rods.
You know, it takes us to Tackle Time, I guess. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Of course, they got a bunch of stuff for crappie fishing. They got crappie jigs, and they got bass fishing, like topwaters, the Pico Pops. And actually, I caught some smallmouth last week up in Missouri on them, which is pretty cool. And then, they just have what you need. So you can check them out at picolures.com. B&M, we just got done talking about B&M. And they have the new 18 and 20-foot. Did you see that?
Yes.
Long poles.
Yeah, for spotter rigging and stuff. But they're also for live, using those for live scoping.
And so I actually went with maybe John Harrison, Joe Floyd.
Okay.
And someone I went with. And we were.
What Mayo was it?
It might have been Mayo. And we went in his boat, and he had like, this was like 2 years ago. And we went in, it was Floyd's boat, and we went in his, and he had a 20-foot long pole. And I think it was like, you know, it was one that they were thinking about coming out. They had him practicing.
Photos.
So, yeah, when I was holding on to that thing, he goes, well, this is, and it was, I think it was add-on, and 20-foot. And he said, what I do is I just push the people over to the thing. And I said, well, you don't have to push. Like, I'll drop it. And you drop a 20-foot rod, and you are way out there.
Mississippi and Oklahoma, 80% of the guides, that's all they do. If the fish is 12 foot deep, they let out 12 foot of line, don't matter what length of rod, and you drop it. And if you're 3 foot from it or whatever, they just bump the trolling motor or now.
Power brakes.
Brakes, bump your brakes and push the boat forward right in there. I wish our fish would set still that way. Well, we could do that. I would love to be able to get my customers on them that way.
That's a tough one. But anyway, B&M Poles, they have a complete line of poles, everything from catfish, trout, and crappie. Pan so fish. You can check them all out at bnmpoles.com. Greg, if they want to do an install and they need you, come do it. They need to bring your boat. How they get in contact with
Greg's
you?
Guide Service on Facebook or Greg Robinson. 479-601-1683.
All right. Well, like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lures in the water. Oh, and your batteries charged.
There you go.